Hi, I'm Markus Captain Karlonen from Poets of the Fall and Olgars of Asgard.
Hello, I'm Olli, the guitar player, guitar god from Poets of the Fall and Olgars of Asgard as well.
And we are listening to Stalwarts of Music.
Hi, gentlemen. Namaste. Welcome to Stalwarts of Music with Aditya Veera Season 3. It's such an incredible privilege to have Poets of the Fall on the show. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
How are you all doing, and which part of the world are you in right now?
We are doing well, thank you. And we are in Finland, our native country, right now, spending the midsummer weekend, actually. It's quite a big thing in Finland, and it's kind of like most of Finland is closed down for this weekend, and everyone is at the countryside, and it's kind of like you can't really see like any people anywhere. So, but we came to the studio to do this, like just to do this. It's like such a big thing.
And what's the weather like in Finland right now?
It's really hot. It's like the sun is shining, and it's
okay.
It's hot. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like compared to the standard Finnish weather, which is rather cold.
Yeah.
So this is one of the, you know, best seasons, you could say, or, you know, people like different things, but of course it's wonderful. It's so sunny and warm at the moment.
Yeah, and we are always joking about the midsummer weather, because everyone wants to have like a good weather, because people are going to the countryside and they would like to have a good weather. But it could be, the sun could be shining, it could be raining, it could be snowing, you never know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we were lucky this year.
Yeah.
Amazing. And what does your agenda look like today? Apart from the interview, are you guys having rehearsals? Are you making any new music? What's going on?
Yeah, we are actually working on Olli's solo album at the moment.
Okay, what is it called?
Does it have a name yet?
I don't think the album has a name yet, but I think the artist name is still Olli T. We'll see what the album will be called. It's one of these crazy ideas that this time of course I come up with, since we had a possibility to do something different during the winter. So I started working on my own material, and I was lucky to get the guys work with me. So, I mean, it's sort of a poet's album without that much vocals, I would say.
Yeah.
We'll
like
see.
A poet's album. Yeah. Minus most of the vocals.
Yeah.
But not all.
Not all. There will be some vocals as well.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's the theme like? Do you have a specific theme in mind in terms of this particular album?
I guess it will be pretty much the same theme that we already always use with Poets albums. So it's like basically the whole band is involved.
Exactly.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
I think we have this certain routine how to work. And so, I mean, this was the natural choice, of course. We have the sort of synchronicity, after so many years working together. So we pretty much know everybody has their own roles. And I think it's just easy that way.
Yeah.
I didn't go any further, you know. The best guys are here, so.
Yeah.
And it's nice that everyone is involved.
Correct. Certainly, there's a great deal of chemistry. You all understand each other so well at this point in your careers. But right now, you all are celebrity musicians. And, having that privilege, one might have the temptation to put out, any idea or any kind of music for the sake of it sometimes, right? But how do you differ in terms of that particular idea? You know, do you resist the temptation of putting out certain songs in this particular album if it doesn't fit in? How do you go about deciding on that?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. It's
because
we all of us get like very different kind of ideas all the time, basically.
Correct.
And it's always about kind of like going through those ideas. And then kind of like, okay, what could we do with this one? Is it like, is it maybe too different or somehow too much for Poets? How about Olgars of Asgard? How about Olli's solo album?
Yeah.
And some of those ideas, we just kind of like, okay, this is right now we don't know what to do with this one. Let's leave it for some future use. Sometimes some ideas need a lot of work, and then eventually there will be something, okay, this is actually like a pretty good song. It took some work, but we managed to do something cool maybe with that original idea. So, yeah. But in the beginning, it the ideas could be like really crazy, and you never know what happens with them. Yeah. But I think that you should have crazy ideas. That's kind of like how good things are born.
I think we are always trying to push our own boundaries, to speak. Yeah. We sort of know what poets is all about. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we always want to go further, a little bit further.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just know that, okay, maybe this riff would work better with Old Gods of Asgard or something else. Of course, we've done some songs for different artists as well outside our band. So, that's always one possibility. If we come up something we can't really fit into our music.
Yeah, when you know that there's something good in here, but we couldn't imagine ourselves releasing something like this. So in that case, okay, maybe there's probably some artists who could do this and it would be like a perfect fit.
Hmm. And having worked in different permutation combinations, you all have been in similar setups, similar lineups, probably been in, like, as you mentioned, right, like as part of different bands or outfits. So after working together in these several many lineups, how do you still keep surprising each other and pushing musical territories? Like, what's the philosophy like? doesn't it get monotonous?
No, I don't think it does. Yeah, because on the other hand, like we just talked about, that we know each other like really well. So we kind of have this like musical vocabulary that we can always, like, for example, if Olli comes up with this some new guitar riff, it's like, that's really good. It's kind of like a different version of that riff that we had in that song.
Yeah, exactly, so it's like, exactly.
So because we have already made like so many songs together and so composed so many songs that we have this kind of like basic building blocks that we all know.
Right.
But at the same time, I think we can still surprise each other and ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, I get my ideas from listening to music. I try to listen to new music all the time. I mean, new old music as well. I go through all old albums as well as new ones.
Yeah.
And I try to sort of, you know, get some ideas and influences from that. And of course, I still have my basic albums that I always go back to and in source of inspiration. But luckily, that happens kind of naturally. You know, it's just pick up the guitar or write down some sort of basic rhythmic idea or something similar. And sometimes you come up with something you have sort of never figured out that you would be able to do that on. But I constantly feel kind of inspired by different music. So I think that helps, at least in my case, to develop new ideas.
And speaking of new music, what are some of the bands or some of the artists that have influenced you in the recent past in terms of your musical ideas? Or are you more of the old school guy who likes listening to, you know, the good old musicians?
Yeah,
I still think that we, especially with Captain, we tend to, well, Captain always says to me, like, if you have something that sounds good or something that you like, please bring it to me and let's listen to it together. And that's what we do with, like, current pop music, for instance. And we listen, like, what people have done and how does it sound and how they make things sound the way they are. But at the same time, I also, you know, it's like recently discovered Genesis as a band. You know, I always knew their biggest hits. You know, of course, you know, I was, you know, sort of listening to them on the radio back in the 80s.
Okay.
But it took me many, many years to really discover all their previous albums and all that mysterious stuff that they have.
Sure.
So I'm pretty sure that that has influenced me a lot lately. As well as listening to Peter Gabriel's solo albums and all that, you know, that comes with the package, sort of, you know, Phil Collins, etc. So I could say as well as all the, you know, modern pop music that is there on the charts. I'm not a huge fan, but I still want to understand today's music and I want to be inspired. So
correct.
So yeah. Of course, you know, all kinds of, you know, big names that are here now. And I just recently discovered Coldplay. I have never listened to that band. I'm now finished with I listened to each album one by one, really trying to figure out what I like and what I don't like. So I'm pretty sure that will be heard on my playing in the you know, for the next albums. Who knows?
Yeah. I think I'm at the same time I'm kind of like an old school guy, so to speak, because I love bands like Queen and stuff like this, and I don't listen to that much radio nowadays with new music. But then, like every now and then, there comes like a new song that really kind of like gets to me. I'm like, whoa, okay, what is this? This is really cool. Bands like M83, for example, I really love their stuff and of course I started my musical career with computers and like making techno, and nowadays you would call it EDM probably, but so it's kind of like, it's not like I'm afraid of like new technology or no, on the contrary, but it's always like a combination of like old stuff and new stuff. And I think the most interesting things are born when kind of like different generations meet each other or something. So yeah.
Thanks, man. As he mentioned earlier, you know, speaking of Genesis, we've had Steve Hackett on this podcast from Genesis.
Cool. Yeah.
He's been one of our guests. And another popular Nigerian musician, the great Fela Kuti's son, Femi Kuti, who has collaborated with Coldplay on this song called Arabesque, has been on the show. He was on the show last month.
Yeah, I know the song. It's pretty amazing.
That's an incredible album. You know, it kind of transitioned from what they were into an all-new sounding band.
Exactly.
You know, having these guys on board.
Wow, fantastic.
So I'd like to go back in time and ask you this one question, right? So when you all got together as a band, was longevity ever part of the discussion?
I think so, because when Mark and Oliver, you kind of like started before I joined the band.
Correct.
And how I understood it, that you actually had like some kind of plan on paper or some kind of like a list of things that you or that we want to achieve. And
yeah, I think we sort of understood that we really need to work on this, and this is something that you can't achieve in a very short time. Of course, we wanted to achieve as much as fast as possible, but I think at some point we realized that you know, it takes a lot of work. It really is something that you need to commit yourself to. But at the same time, I think everything came out sort of naturally.
We
loved working together. We still do. We still have the same sort of flame in the band. You know, we feel excited about each other's ideas.
Yeah.
And I think that has never changed. But back to your question, I think there was some sort of a plan to really see what we can, you know, achieve and really start doing this for full time, which we did.
I think actually that was like a big thing for us, because I think so many bands, when they're starting, they don't really have this like they don't approach it like any work. It's more like, okay, hey, let's have a band and let's just like jam in the garage, and nothing wrong with that. But I think we had this kind of like, okay, this is a job, so we need to do this like, of course, we can do it like when you're making music, an idea can come in the middle of the night. Mm. But kind of like we should aim for kind of like Monday to Friday from 9 to 5 or kind of like that's kind of like the basic framework, and we'll work around that. But so we should really try to do this as like a real full-time job.
Amazing.
And that's what we have been doing.
Yeah,
For 21 years now.
I think one of the things that we wrote down back in the early days was that consistency on working new music.
Consistency, exactly. Yeah,
let's do things like as much as possible. Like let's have writing sessions every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evenings, for instance. So I mean, I think that. Yeah, that sort of proves that we were aiming to.
Kind of serious about the whole thing. Yeah.
Amazing. And you did mention 21 years. That's nearly two decades and still
on.
Right? So what does the 20th anniversary mean to the two of you?
Well, it's kind of like when you stop to think about it that, whoa, wait a minute, we have been doing this for 20 years. Where did the time go? But I guess, it's time flies when you're having fun.
But
has it unfolded the way you wanted it to be 20 years before? You must have envisioned certain milestones, certain highlights, and those things. How has it unfolded?
I think life always takes you to kind of like slightly different directions than what you planned. So I don't think we really had like no idea where we were going to be like in 20 years.
Exactly.
So kind of like, I think for us, it's more like kind of like every good thing and every happy thing that happens. It's kind of like, okay, we're just like really happy that this happened. And we are going like, as long as we are going like, it doesn't matter how slow it is, but as long as we are going like forwards and slightly up, then it's like everything is good. I don't think it's good to even have like this, okay, by the year, this and this, we need to be here and here or sell this many albums. Or it's, I don't think that's like a healthy way to. So at the same time, we are kind of like, we are serious. We want to do this kind of like as a job. We want to get far. But I don't think we had like any that we definitely need to be like exactly here at this point.
And I guess I also didn't know what to expect from all
that's
this.
The thing. Because we have been learning this whole time.
Yeah.
We are still learning.
And the whole. You know, music.
The industry and everything's changed. Like,
it changes so quickly. So, what we used to do, or what I used to do, just when we started the first years, I always sort of calculated that. Okay, so now we are in a position where I can say that we will be doing this till the end of this year, and then next year we'll see where we are. Sort of.
Yeah.
So 1 year at a time.
Yeah.
And we made some sort of like a time. Frames that we are okay with, and we all know that we are sort of dedicated on working for this period,
so we are making
the next album, next tour, something like that.
So maybe so we are kind of like doing this like flexible milestones, one at a time, kind of like depending on where we are, and so that we always have like something where we are kind of like aiming for, but it's not like okay in 10 years we.
Yeah.
What need to have like a number one or other, otherwise we have failed. Nothing like that.
Yeah. But it's a fact that, you know, if you do such work as we do, you know, you don't succeed in everything you try. So we have faced over the years, we have faced a lot of, you know, difficulties, and we've had all kinds of, you know, we've had bad luck and good luck, and as Captain well said, you know, it's really hard to know what's going to happen next. So you kind of have to have this like, okay, the next 2 months at least I know what I'm doing.
It's like a constant combination of like making plans and improvising. So it's kind of like
but I was happy. You know, if you think about milestones, I think, you know, the whole COVID time was very difficult for many artists and musicians and performing arts people. And at that point, I was sort of, I felt sort of gratitude that we had come this far. So we were able to even survive that situation.
Yeah.
It was also like very difficult for many people. And of course, we also had to rethink everything that we do, but at that point, I think it in some ways that showed us that okay, we are even capable of surviving this situation as well, which is kind of a milestone as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you guys have had groundbreaking hits like Carnival of Rust, which is one of the most popular anthems in a country like India. And of course, several other songs that have followed your path as musicians. So as musicians, what is your hope in terms of people listening to your music? How would you like them to describe your music?
Good question. Yeah, it's because we have, it's usually when you do, when we make a song, and then when you hear someone like writing some comments about it or just like describing the song, it's always so different. Everyone hears the song so differently and pays attention to like different things. Because for example, me as a keyboard player and producer, I'm listening to the snare sound or, okay, are the vocals loud enough and stuff like this. And there might be like some like production effect or something there that I'm very, very proud of. And then when someone listens to the song, he or she is listening to like completely different things and doesn't even like care about those things that I spent like so much time on. So which is perfectly okay. That's the thing, because a song is like a combination of so many different things. It has so many layers and so many like expertise of so many different people and even like a different arts and crafts and everything. Yeah. So much work goes into like one single song. So it's like, I don't know. I think everyone can just like enjoy them like any way they can, any way that works for them. Because I have seen that it's so different for different people that I can't even begin to imagine what what kind of things people can get out of our song. But something that we have heard like many times over the years, that our music has actually, and I'm sure we are not the only band in the world or only artist in the world, but our music has actually helped people, like actually helped them with like, let's say, some like mental problems, or they have been like really sad or like even like depressed, and then they got some help through our music.
Amazing.
And when you hear stuff like this, that's kind of like when you really stop and kind of like, maybe we are actually doing not just like some pop rock songs, but something that actually made the world like a slightly better place. And that's really cool. That's like really, really makes you stop and think for a moment.
What I'm really happy about is that we have such a wide audience, you know, from young to old and from different countries, etc. And that's something that is like I'm a little bit proud of that so many people have found our music and like it and continues to listen. Nice. And I think this sort of emotional contact and emotional, you know, thing there in the music, I think if people get, you know, moved by the music or something that really affects them, I think that is something very precious.
Yeah, because that's what we want to get from music. Yeah. When we are listening to like any music or making music, we want to get this kind of like emotional response from that music.
Okay.
Whatever it is, but that's kind of like I think that's why people listen to music. It's like that's the kind of like the fundamental reason.
Beautiful. In terms of your external engaging with the world as performers in your own rights, what is it about writing music that you find meaningful and substantive? Is it a process of catharsis? You tend to have emotions, insights, and responses from different audiences, and you want to express or convey a message through all of this music that you put out. So do you see a social purpose to it? Why do you make this music?
I think I maybe touched that a little bit in the previous answer. But yeah, that's the thing, that I think at first when you have an idea for a song, it's usually at that point, it's at least for us, because we are not writing, Marco's writing the lyrics in our band. Mm-hmm. So maybe I don't want to talk for Marco, but I think that probably when you write lyrics, you maybe have some kind of like a better idea about the what is the actual meaning of this, and what do you want to achieve with these lyrics, and do they have some like a bigger context in the whatever. But I think at least for us, when we have an idea, it's usually more like an abstract idea, more like a musical idea. So it's the most important thing. Okay, does this make you feel? Does this make you want to like move or dance or feel good or feel sad or whatever? And if you get that from the very first idea, then kind of like, okay, this is good. This is good. Let's see what we can do with this. But yeah, I think the kind of like the when the song is released, only then, at least I kind of like get the okay, that's what this song is all about. That's how people kind of like these are the feelings that people get from this song. And but it's sometimes difficult to see that when you are working on that song and you're kind of like working on all the details and you just kind of like want to make it sound as good as possible and like musically and the production and mixing and all that kind of stuff. At least for me, it's difficult to, okay, what is the meaning of this song? Mm. But sometimes I get this, even like, it has happened to me a couple of times. I have heard like an older song of ours, like that we made like many years before.
Yeah.
And I hear it in some like random context. And I'm like, whoa, okay, hey, now I actually like, I understand the lyrics a little bit better. It's like, this is actually like pretty beautiful. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Nice.
But it's, yeah, we are like different people, me, Marco and Olli. We usually, we write the songs and compose and produce the songs.
Yeah.
And all three of us, I think, are, as human beings, we are pretty different from each other, which is a good thing because all three of us bring like a different side to the song, and it's like a combination of different viewpoints. And yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Nothing to add. You know, that's exactly.
Did I answer the question? I'm not even sure, but yeah.
Nice. How did you arrive at the album title "Jealous Gods"?
Did we have like a different? I think we had like a couple of different options for it.
Okay.
And usually all the song titles and album titles then come from Marco.
Yeah.
And this was one of them. And I think I remember one situation. We were touring, we were on the tour bus, and we were like planning our next album. And Marco just mentioned maybe like that name and a couple of other titles.
Yeah.
And to me, it was immediate like, yeah, that's a good one. It's like a. It has this like a very dramatic feel to it,
yeah,
which always speaks to me. So,
and we've always been discussing this yin and yang, good and bad, white and black, and I think that
like a duality of life. Yeah.
And you know, it's in our name as well, Poets of the Fall. You know, the poets being somewhat good and fall. In this case, you know, like a little bit sinful poets.
Yeah.
And so I think in that album name, there was this.
Yeah, there's this like contrast. Or this like some kind of like conflict or contrast in the name.
Yeah.
And every time when you hear something like that, it's like, okay, there's something there. Yeah. Well, similar to Carnival Frost, it's like Carnival, which is like, it's a good thing, happy thing. And rust, which is like something decaying. So it's like, I think we have actually quite a lot of titles that. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, Marco could tell more about the kind of like what's behind the Jealous Gods name. But I just like the idea that, okay, gods who should be like perfect and everything. Can they be jealous?
Yeah. So, nice. Yeah. And they have like something very human. Like a feel. Yeah.
Amazing. So as performers, is anguish, conflict, something discordant in some ways necessary to trigger the musicians within you to make all of this music?
I would say like from experience that yes, it sort of helps. It makes things difficult as well at the same time.
Any particular experience that you could relate it too?
Well, there is so much, you know, if I say it as a performer, you know, when you go to the stage or when you write a song, you're always, your heart is there, your mind is there, and everything that is happening to you at the same time, and all the, you know, situation, difficult situation that you have in life, and you know, we argue sometimes, of course, and we have difficult times together, and you put all that into your music and into your performance. So when we're on stage, you know, we might have been fighting in the back just before the show, and when we go on stage, you know, we let all of that
negative energy.
And we might play one of the best shows ever, you know, when we are kind of trying to really get all the negativity out of us, and which will happen sort of automatically, and it's very, you know, well, it is a sort of catharsis, as you said, you know, sort of, yeah. You know, you're cleansing yourself in a way from all these thoughts. And so it's hard to say anything particular. I mean, over the years, we've had so many things happening in the band, in as well as in our personal lives, you know, there's been a lot of ups and downs, and, you know, 20 years is a lot.
There actually are some lyrics in our songs that are kind of like born from some particular things that have happened.
Yeah.
Like sometimes bad things, sometimes good things.
Yeah, but I guess we are such private people, or we like to keep our privacy, that we don't really necessarily want to discuss about our personal lives.
We don't like to talk about the actual things that happen, but kind of like they kind of like get filtered to our music and performances in some way.
Yeah.
So it's always like a kind of a combination of everything that you see and hear and experience, and that through some really complex algorithms in your brain, those get to your get to the music.
Yeah. And hopefully, even though our music is sad at times, and there is a little bit, you know, lots of minor key songs, etc., you know, we always try to find this sort of resolution or hope or something like that, positive things in our music, and even the saddest of sad songs. So I guess that's sort of the not a message, but of course we want that to be heard as well. So it's, even things may sound sad, you know, there might be something good on the way as well.
Yeah.
I think it's a delicate balance that you aim for as a unit.
Exactly. Yeah.
Amazing. From a producer's standpoint, what are some of the key considerations that you take when it comes to Poets of the Fall as a project? Are there certain underlying principles that you follow or have been following throughout?
That's a good question. Yeah, well, one of the, if you mean like actually like producing the songs, and because we, one thing that we wanted to do from the beginning was to, we never want to go this into this like an old school big studio where you kind of like pay for the hour, and it's like, okay, so we now have 8 hours, we need to like record this and this and this. So from the beginning, we wanted to do everything in our own studio or at home. And in the beginning, we didn't even have like a dedicated studio, so we did everything in my bedroom. And so, and that's basically what we still do.
Yeah.
So now we do have our own studio, but for example, we can't record drums here. So when we need to record drums, we do that somewhere else. But the important thing for us is that kind of like when we come to the studio, it almost feels like our home. It's not like something where you go and there's this big mixing desk and then, okay, there's some recording engineer and then we have rented this for 3 days and now we need to get all this and this done. So that's never been our thing. It's. I think for us, it's important to kind of like feel relaxed, feel at peace. We have all the time in the world. We can come to the studio anytime we want, or we can do something at home. But still, we want to keep this like we talk about, that this is still a job. So we try to do this kind of like from Monday to Friday. And I think that's like one of the principles that we have always had, and which has been like really important for us.
Yeah, and I guess I think we all kind of play a little bit each other's instruments, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not a good keyboard player, but I do like to play it sometimes.
Yeah.
Captain plays guitar, Marco plays guitar and bass, and Captain as well bass, you know, and I have bass there. So we can come up with ideas and just toss them around and try different things. What I like about recording things to straight to computer is that I can always change the sound and I can still do things in very late part of the process. And
yeah,
and I think, you know, those are the things we started with, and we're still doing it the same way
because we have never been like this, like purists in any way.
Yeah.
Because I know that there are people, okay, we need to have like only analog guitar amplifiers and nothing else. And when we started in making Late Goodbye, we only had this like very, by today's standards, like pretty primitive guitar amplifier emulators on a computer. But we used whatever we had available. We used those. And I don't think anyone has ever complained about the guitar sound. So Late Goodbye. So it's like, yeah, for us, it's more important to have like, kind of like to have total control, total freedom.
Mm.
Things have to be like easy to do. And it's not like, oh, we need to have this like specific gear or this like specific type of gear to achieve what we want to do. No, it's more like, I think we approach making music more like making movies than kind of like making like traditional, when you think about like a traditional band that goes to the studio and records the song and then it's mixed and then it's released. It's, for us, it's more like playing with ideas and kind of like cutting the songs together from those ideas using whatever tools and means we have. And actually about the, because we have never wanted to really like give our music like any name or category for the style of music that we do. But I think at some point we invented this, that if we need to do it, it's cinematic rock. So
yeah,
that's kind of like, because we all like movies, and it's like, I think one of the things when we are making a new song, I sometimes think that, okay, could this song work in a movie in some kind of scene? And if I can imagine the scene where that song would work, then it's like, okay, now we're going in the right direction. It's like, so it's like very, yeah, I think they're always kind of like trying to make a soundtrack for something.
That's true.
Yeah, you did mention cinematic. So I'm sure there's a visual element, which is very essential when it comes to the performance aspect in terms of this music. So could you elaborate a little bit on the visual elements that, you know, go on during your performances?
Good question. So, I don't know. What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, if we go a little bit back to this previous question, my thought in my head was, you know, that when we create music in this particular way, that it's sort of, you know, we make parts and then we sort of glue them together, mm-hmm, and different ideas.
Yeah.
There will come a time, especially when we're, well, in my part, if I'm playing the guitars, I need to play the song at some point from the beginning to the end. Mm-hmm. I need to play my guitar. I want to play them from beginning to end. I don't want it to be like, maybe in some particular cases, yes, I might play like verse one and then pause and then move on to the chorus, etc. But I want, because I always think in the back of my head, I think like we are going to perform this song at some point. Mm. So how am I going to do this? You know, I didn't think about it when we were doing old Gustav Asgard songs. Now I'm already sweating thinking about it. But still, I mean, in general, you know, moving to this part where you perform these songs, you know, it's still a lot of work. We have to go to the rehearsals as every other band.
We
do put things in the sort of backing track or whatever it's called.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. There's
some things we just cannot play.
Yeah, there's six of us on stage, and we always kind of like, when we start making like live versions of the studio recordings, it's like, okay, so who's going to play what? You will play this, you will play this, but then we still have this stuff here. Is it like important to the song? Yes, it is. Okay, that will go to the backing tracks. So that's how we approach the live versions of the song, which is like depending on the song, it can be like a really easy process, or it can be like a huge process that needs like a lot of fine tuning.
Yeah. And of course, we have the whole band working together. We have our front of the house guy there. We are all planning to, you know, to get to the audience. Like, it's not like exactly the same as in the album. We want to make it feel like there has to be, you know, this kind of live element and
yeah, of course,
feeling of danger in the air.
Feeling like danger, yeah,
anything
yeah.
can happen.
Anything kind of, could happen yeah. at any point. Yeah,
yeah, and it doesn't have to be in any certain way. It just has to sound good in a way and create this kind of atmosphere that we are aiming. I don't know if this answers to your question, but,
well, it,
but
it
these are the
does.
Thoughts that we...
Yeah,
and of course, we have, you know, like a practice routine for the whole band. We gather together and we rent this place where we always, you know, similar place where we can kind of practice the performance, etc. And we'll spend there like a few weeks and get ready. And yeah. But of course, you know, the sound has to be good. So we have to have the proper time to prepare for each tour and each show.
Yeah, it's sometimes when some fans maybe go, "Oh, could you play this song live? You have never played this song live." And we're like, "Yeah, well, there's a reason for that." It's like because some of our songs, I think all bands or most bands have some songs that are kind of like that, okay, you can just play it like pretty much as it is on the album, just like play on the stage and that's it. But the more the songs are based on some kind of like studio things that you can only do in studio. Usually you can do like some kind of live version of those things, but sometimes it's really difficult and it just doesn't work as well when playing live. So I guess that's why there's a... We have like many songs that we have never even tried to play live.
Yeah. And we are not that fast to change the set.
Yeah.
Because it always takes time. And as I said, we are six players there plus some backing tracks.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a huge thing to kind of like, okay, do we want to play this new song? Okay. So it's like, let's start this project. It's like, okay, first we need to, who's playing what? I start to build the backing tracks. And then there's like a lot of these program changes that go to the guitar amplifiers of kind of like so that if the guitarists have like different sounds in different parts of the song and everything needs to be in sync and it's like a huge thing. And then of course, and the one problem with this, we are now getting to the technical things, but I hope that doesn't matter. But
no.
One thing is that kind of like when I'm building the backing tracks in the studio, the main problem is that I can't hear them with the... from the PA with the band. So it's kind of like I always have to guess a little bit. And then usually we go to the rehearsals and then we have our front of house guy and he hears for the first time, he actually hears the whole thing, like the band and backing tracks all together. And then I usually get some feedback from him that, okay, this shaker in the backing tracks was maybe a little bit too loud. Can you drop that down like 3 decibels? I'm like, yeah, no problem. And then we play it again and then he has some more feedback and it's kind of like this iterative process where we kind of like fine-tune everything. And also when we play live, we constantly, even when we are on tour, we constantly notice like little things like, oh, by the way, this thing here, maybe it's not working as well as we thought. Maybe we should change it a little bit and maybe sometimes it could be like anyone in our band who notices small things like that. Or it could be about front of house guy. And then usually we talk about them and then we agree that, okay, on tomorrow's show, let's try it in a different way and see how that works. And so we're kind of like constantly trying to fine-tune things and make the show a little bit better and make ourselves a little bit better. Yeah, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but at least you have to try.
Sure. It all starts there.
Yeah.
In terms of the group's choice or repertoire, You've put out so many albums, you got so many songs. So today, talking about present day, what influences the group's choice of repertoire? How do you go about picking the set of songs that you need for this particular performance?
Yeah, that's also a pretty complex process.
Yeah. These days, you know, when we have like, how many albums? We have at least 9 albums, I think.
9? 10?
Yeah, something like that. So, it just gets more and more difficult, you know. People, of course, want to hear the... Sorry if I, you know...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so people always want to hear the classics, of course. The biggest hits have to be played, yeah. For sure. And we agree. And there's, for me personally, it's completely okay to play the same songs. I still love the music so much. And they feel... I kind of, you know, I don't mind. You know, I actually like it, and I like the feel, and you know the, you know, it, yeah, just me. It has been always like that for me, but yeah. So when we have, you know, a lot of material to choose from, it was a little bit easier when we had this 20...
One album.
Yeah, that was super easy.
That was easy, yeah.
But now when we played our 20th anniversary tour last year, I think it was sort of easier because we were focusing on the old songs, the old hits, the songs that everybody wants to hear. Mm. And because, you know, of course we want to always promote the latest album as well, you know, that's a natural thing, you know, that's what bands do, and we as well, and but at the same time you have to play the classics, and it would be nice to have some sort of new ingredients here and there, you know, sure. Some weird songs, and
yeah,
we always try different songs when we are at the rehearsal, and we think that song could work, and then we try it, and it's sometimes it's like, I don't know. Yeah. This is the reason why we didn't choose it the last time. or something like that.
Yeah, it's sometimes like difficult to explain why something works or doesn't work.
Yes.
Correct.
Like you said, we have tried some, which I don't remember which song was it, but some years ago we were like, oh, we haven't played this one for a long, long time, at the live show, so let's put it back to our set list. And then we played it at the rehearsals, and it was like something kind of like no one wanted to say anything at first, but then someone was like, is it really working? And they were like, no, something about it just like doesn't work. So maybe just skip it and we'll choose something else.
And of course, we have to take into consideration Marco's voice and his, you know, he needs to have his breaks. He needs to have right amount of, like stress to his voice.
Yeah,
in a way.
Because
so he can't be singing like this all the time.
Yeah, he can't sing like 2, 3, 4 songs next to each other, which all have this like like a lot of
yeah.
So we all we need to have this like practical considerations also.
Yeah,
and
so that is one thing to figure out, and I'm sure that now after, you know, the success of Old Gods of Asgard album and. We don't know what's going to happen with my solo album. Are we adding some of more instrumental songs on the set? We don't know, but it's not getting easier. That's for sure. But of course, we will always play the, you know, the classic hits, starting from Carnival Frost.
Yeah,
as the last song, I think.
I think at our every show we have played Carnival Frost. It has always been either the last song or the second to last song.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like it's already like a tradition. We can't really change that. And I think everyone expects that. And it's like nothing wrong with that.
Yes. Luckily, we have a guitar solo on Lift, which is also one of those most played songs. Mm. So
I
get to play the solo, which I love.
Yeah,
and it's always a challenge for me, anyways.
Yeah. And one more thing which I have to mention is that over the years, kind of like you start kind of like loving some songs, but you also start hating some songs for whatever reason. And the thing is that there's 6 people in our band, and all 6 of us have some songs that kind of like for whatever reason, they don't really like playing that much. And it's like when we're trying to come up with the set list, because we try to be like democratic when we do the set list. It's like, okay, how about this song? And then one of us is like, okay, let's skip that. So that's also why there's like a lot of songs that we probably will never play because it's like it's someone's
least favorite.
Least favorite song. So yeah.
As instrumentalist, how do you ensure that seamless improvisation is in place and things don't go off track? How do you ensure that there's a right amount of improvisation that's necessary?
When we play live shows.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think it's always like a combination of things that we have rehearsed and kind of like it's recorded on the album. But yeah, but I think kind of the more we play a song, we get like more and more, we start to take a little bit more risks.
Yeah.
Kind of like start trying different things here and there. And sometimes they end up being like parts of the song. So we're kind of like, we'll just like do that on the next show and the next show. And
yeah.
And it starts coming like further and further away from the original. I think that has happened a lot, for example, with Markus Fokaus, because he sings some parts like in a really different way than he did in the original recording. And that's kind of like natural how it goes. And so, sometimes if I notice something that someone is playing or singing something like really different, and because I'm not sure if it was a mistake or if it was like something that they maybe wanted to try, and then I'm like, maybe that's, was it just a mistake or did you, oh, okay. It's like, so sometimes it's maybe more kind of like, okay, let's go a little bit back to the how it was originally, but it's always a good thing to, I think when you do this like long enough, you have this kind of like sense where it's like a safe to try something new without completely ruining the song when you're actually like playing in front of people.
Yeah.
But of course, when we are like rehearsing, then we can try whatever we want. But
yeah.
Yeah. But and especially Olli, I think it's for the guitarist, it's like, because I admit that I usually play like pretty simple stuff on stage. So I usually kind of like pretty much follow the same notes each night. Sometimes I might throw in something like little extra things here and there, but not that much. But I think for the guitarists, you kind of like, it's easier for you to
explore and experiment
a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And the more there is improvisational parts and parts where I can do some improvising, so I think that keeps the thing or the whole performance interesting to me. But at the same time, you know, it's good that we have some sort of package we want to deliver. So it can't be too free, but I love the feeling of certain danger there. Yeah. And I'm sure the audience will appreciate that as well. So as I said before, I think it's important to have this kind of feeling that it's not exactly as it is on the album, but I still want it to sound good. But at the same time, you know, it's like walking on a very thin line, you know. Sometimes it doesn't work, and sometimes it's, you know, makes the song and performance better. So trying to walk there somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Of course, having the backing track, we have the click all the time in our ears. We do have some things that we can variate or change, and there can be some freer sections that we might try, here you have 8 bars, do whatever you feel like.
For example, the live version of Chasing Echoes.
Yeah,
we added this like quite a long section actually, where there's only, I think it's only like me playing this like little pad, and it's basically like a free improvised guitar solo for Olli.
Yeah, yeah. So
and I think and I'm guessing it was like different every night.
I think it was. Yeah, I started. Yeah. I had this basic idea that I always started from.
Yeah.
But after that, it was like, let's see what happens. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't work that well to me or in my ears. But it was fun. It was certainly a really interesting moment to the set.
And it's also like nice to think that kind of like every night, the people who were there, they heard something that has never been played before and maybe something that will never be played again. So that's another nice... Nice thought, yeah.
As musicians, I'm sure there's a lot of appreciation and criticism too at the same time. So how do you go about handling criticism being directed at you? And what were some of the points that critiques have highlighted, which you all have worked upon?
Yeah, well, of course, we have seen all kinds of comments and critiques over the years. And
yeah, for sure.
Especially at the beginning, I think, when we still read the album reviews. Yeah, I think it was kind of like, for many critics, it was kind of like cool to say that we are kind of like overproduced or
yeah.
We have kind of like, which to me is always like, okay, so do you mean that we sound too good or what is the problem?
Okay.
Should I kind of like mix and produce the albums like not that well, or should I make them sound a little bit worse, but it then be like okay for you? But I don't know, it's like at some point you at least of course it still hurts when you see something bad and you get this like you really want to kind of like answer something like something really bad, but at least I don't really like read any social media comments or anything anymore. So it's like, I just don't, just like my life is easier when I don't do that. But then again, it really depends on the exact context. Because for many years, this whole thing, I couldn't separate like me and Pots of the Fall and the music. And it was kind of like all the same. So when I read like any kind of bad comment about anything that has something to do with our music, I always took it like 100% personally. And that's really, after a while, it really gets to you. It's like really stressful. But I think because since we have been doing this for so long, at some point you start to kind of like, you learn to separate at least a little bit like, okay, this is the band, this is the music. But it's not the same thing as my life and am I a good person or a bad person. And also for some reason, Olkar Savaskar for me, I have been able to kind of like see it kind of like from the outside much more than Pots of the Fall. So I have actually read like many, many comments for the music videos of Olkar Savaskar. And of course, like most of them are like really fun and nice. And there's always something like cringe or whatever like this. But for some reason, it just makes me laugh. It's not like, I don't feel bad about that. I just don't take it that personally, like with, maybe with poets. Even though we are both bands and it's like, I don't know what the difference is, but
But in general, I have like two things in mind. It's like, luckily we have this experience of now 20 plus years. Mm. It helps.
It helps, yeah.
But still, even today, it hurts to read something that, you know, someone is not liking or something is wrong with our band or our music something is, you know, of course it hurts. It's you know, you can't avoid that. And the second thing is that we are three here every day working together, me, Captain and Marco, and we support each other and the whole band, of course, you know, the guys. We are here for each other. And we like to talk. We sit down, we take a cup of coffee, and we discuss all the things that are, you know, difficult. And I think that has helped us through these, you know, because sometimes, some things you really take personally, and it demands a lot of processing afterwards. So, but I think it has helped over the years. Now we know that nothing is sort of threatening us, or it's, you know, threatening our careers or anything like that. Yeah. And you know, so if people don't like, it doesn't mean that I'm going to lose my job or something. It's basic stuff. But, you know, when you read a bad comment, the first thing is that you get scared.
Yeah.
Because, someone is like maybe trying to, you know, it hurt you in a way, even though that's not the case. But that is the truth. You know, when I read something negative, it really has this impact on me. But luckily, over the years, I've learned like to put them in this like, okay, at least our music is getting some sort of feedback from people.
Yeah, I mean, the worst thing would be if you get like no comments, no good or no bad. That's the worst thing. So kind of like, as long as it gets like we get like some kind of reaction, that's the main thing. But I have to say that only in our band, you have been kind of like the one who has like promoted this idea of kind of like that. Let's talk about things. Let's, yeah, that always helps. If you, because we are human beings, we have our issues, we have our problems, especially after you have been doing this for so long. But it's like, as long as you're kind of like, okay, let's talk about it. And when you just talk about it long enough, usually you get some kind of resolution for the problem. And we, I think we all really have to thank Olli for that, because...
Well, at least we are all good talkers in a way. You
yeah.
know? So I think one of the key things to our sort of longevity and even success is that we can talk, and we like to spend time just talking and going through things. I think it is also our work to discuss
things. It's part of the work, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. So when we go there to the kitchen and we select our cups.
Yeah. So far we haven't needed this like external psychologist like Metallica.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, we can handle everything by ourselves. Yeah.
But it's in that way, in that sense, it's good that we still work in the same premises. We our office is here for us three, even though we like working like from home as well and that, but we still gather together to do like basic stuff and you know, just being together discussing. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything serious, just like daily things.
And also one, like we maybe talked a little bit earlier that we understand that we are different.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We understand that kind of like, okay, I'm who I am, you are who you are. And we know that kind of like, okay, we are all human beings, but we maybe need slightly different things in different situations.
Yeah.
And we respect that. We always try to respect that kind of like as much as we can, that okay, you I like this, you don't like this. That this is okay. We can find some solution to still make it work, even though we have like different opinions and different preferences. So
this goes to songwriting as well. You know, if we find something, someone doesn't like something, we can always like, well, we have plenty of songs, so let's choose another song. If we can, and try to, you know, we check that later on and if we can find a solution. But if not, luckily we have other songs as well, you know.
Could you encapsulate the journey of the album Ghostlight?
Well, I mean, first have to start with the specific time that we were in. We were during the pandemic, of course.
Yeah.
We were at the same time working with different projects, such as Old Gods of Asgard album.
Yeah.
Same time. And we had more time than we usually do, but it was sort of mixed between these different projects and different things, which was a good thing in that sense. I think one of the best things that I can come up with what happened during the process was that I really had time to listen to the songs after we had made the first demos and figure out what else we can, you know, do with them. And that's why the songs became a little bit longer.
Mm.
There were more guitar solos as well. For some weird reason.
Why is that?
and I think, you know, we were able to make it as a really nice sort of, how would I describe it? Marco would be so much better to describe the...
The arc,
start to the finish and then coming back to the start, this sort of
like a loop
feeling, and with all the speech on the first song and till the last
we had this second
the, you know, where Marco is, you know, and we
so there's some kind of like a thread through the whole album, so it's like we had this
then we had these hidden...
These whispers there that whispers, kind of like spell out the name of the album in, was it like numbers? That's kind of like the number of the alphabet. So I love hiding like stuff like this in music.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like not just the song you hear. It's there's kind of like these layers that you can find when you listen to it like more and more.
Yeah.
And so yeah.
So I mean, I think it was a special album, at least for me. Every album that we've done have been different, and they all have their sort of things that you remember them from. And this one I still remember the sort of stress that we were on when we were thinking about what's happening in the world, and I'm very sure it has affected to the songs and to the lyrics as well. And then I felt so relieved when we got all the songs we wanted there, and I think the package was good in a way. So of course after such album, it's we needed to take some time off, and luckily we had so many things, and we still have so many projects and things going on all the time. So I think now when we started working with some new songs with Marco just a few weeks back, and of course with Captain, so yeah. I think it felt like, okay, now we've had a break that was long enough, and now I feel sort of refreshed, and because you kind of have to put behind what you've done before to start a new one. Because if you start comparing things to what you just did, you know, it just everything sounds bad. So it's better just to start something completely new.
And what is your philosophy when it comes to remasters? Do you guys put remasters of older versions of your songs?
I don't think we have
the fresh.
Yeah. I don't think we have ever done like a proper remaster.
Not really.
If you mean like an actually like taking the original tracks and kind of like mixing them kind of like in a more modern or whatever way. So no, we have never done that really.
But what we did was Stay Forever.
Yeah.
One of those songs that Stay was one of our, you know, classics from the first album.
Yeah.
And
kind of like the motivation for that was that when we have played that song live, we play like a slightly different version or kind of like things that have evolved over the years for the live version. So we thought that, why don't we kind of like record a studio version that kind of like follows that live version. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what we have done. And of course we have done like acoustic versions and everything. But
yeah. But in a way, I think what we believe is that, you know, the magic of that particular version of the song that is on the album has some sort of,
yeah,
there is this thing that you shouldn't sort of start.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I'd like to go back because I could make some of our old songs sound so much better. So maybe at some point, yeah, but still I don't want to change like to it still has to sound like the same song. I think it's like perfectly okay to make it kind of like in our some old songs. What always bothered me that the drums sound kind of weak, and I'd like to make them a little bit punchier and stuff like this.
Yeah.
That's what I could do, but I would still keep like the original basic, kind of like the original tracks. I wouldn't change them at all.
Yeah, and the sort of essence that the song has, you know, shouldn't be changed too much.
Yeah.
But then there's also remixes, etc. that people do, and, you know, all kinds of weird things happening around us, you know, that people discover our music and make their own versions, etc.
Yeah.
I mean, that's always
that's
the way to give their like a new life to our
previous and song. that's something that we are kind of like it's remixes are kind of like they can be really cool and fun, and we have like nothing against that. It's like it's not like the original songs are kind of like sacred or anything. you shouldn't touch them. It's not like that. No. It's like kind of like if you can take some element like vocal line or whatever, and you can turn it into something like totally different. That's like, that's really cool. Yeah, I mean, I made a couple of remixes, like the dance remix of Lift, like years back. And
nice.
And I think I even started like some others too. I just never had time to finish them. But actually, right now I have like a idea, like a it's kind of like EDM techno remix idea for one of our songs. I don't know if something will come out of it, but that's always cool. So kind of like try to find a different sort of like angle to some song and maybe make it, because there's so you can't, it's not like we talked that we are not like purists in a way that it shouldn't have like a drum machine or whatever. No, it's like you can do anything as long as it works, as long as it sounds good, as long as it makes you happy or sad or dance or whatever. It's like then the music is doing its job when it's kind of like moving you in some way.
It's beautiful. In the interest of time, I'd like to come to the last part of our agenda, which is a very quick rapid fire with the two of you. So you can't think too much. You've got to be spontaneous with your answers.
Sure.
Let's see who does better.
No pressure. Yeah.
First question for you. What is that one song that always makes you cry?
Sleep?
Our song.
Our song.
Was it our song or someone else's song?
Yeah, which one?
It could be either.
Okay, I don't want to say any of our songs, so... forget sleep. No. Sound of Silence, live version. Yeah.
That was good. That was good.
Yeah. By Simon and Garfunkel. Yeah,
for sure. There are so many songs that I cry, so...
Yeah, I mean, after a glass of wine, every song makes me cry.
It has to be some Phil Collins sad song about divorce and I wish it would rain now or something like that.
In the right context, like almost any song can be.
Phil Collins song.
And it doesn't even have to be like a sad song. I mean, it's just like a good song.
That was a tough one.
Yeah.
On the contrary, what's your favorite guilty pleasure song?
I just had a... Oh, yeah, I know. Beach Boys, Kokomo. Yeah, it's because it's supposed to be like a really bad song that no one likes, but I just like it.
Nice. I would say something like Barbie Girl.
Aqua.
Aqua, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it got this summer vibe from 1995 something when I was, partying.
Amazing. If the two of you had to put together an all-star pop rock band, you can pick artists from any era. Who would you have as a part of it?
Freddie Mercury, definitely.
I would put Phil Collins on the drums.
Oh yeah.
But because he can also sing.
Yeah, true. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
maybe something from. The Eagles, they sing really well.
Basically everyone from the Eagles, because they all, we would have like the best vocal band in the world if we had Eagles,
We need one female at least.
Celine Dion.
Celine Dion would be nice touch.
Yeah.
Mm.
What else? Well, Jimi Hendrix, if he can go to any era. So,
That would be really, really good. Diana Krall. I love her piano playing. No offense, she can sing and play the piano. So that would be, I mean, that would be a nice mixture.
Yeah, maybe start with that and then see how it goes.
Amazing. What are the top three qualities of a musician that you personally embody?
That we have.
I would say in general, the things that you need to make a good musician, or what I prefer is that... Well, I can start. For me, first of all, you have to be a good guy. Easy to
work
with. Easy to be with. We've spent so much time on the bus, on the planes, and backstage. You need to have... surrounded by guys that you really enjoy just spending time with, you don't have to play that well as long as you're good.
Second most important thing.
Exactly.
Or third.
Of course, you have to be interested in your instrument and I think one of the key things on stage is that you connect with the audience. So you have to be able to connect with the audience. No matter how good you play, you have to connect with the audience. You have to be there for them. And, it has to go back and forth. That's the second thing. And, you have to have durability. It's like stamina. It's so hard. And you have to go through walls because this is not an easy job. This really... It's very demanding. You get this criticism, and you have to be performing well every night. Mm. And So, but these are the things that we do have, so nothing to worry about.
Yeah, luckily we have all of those. Yeah.
No, but we have learned over the years how to do this. So,
yeah.
But I mean, for me, three things: engaging with the audience and the stamina. You have to have the stamina, and you have to be a, you know, good person to, kind of like to hang out with.
Kind of like, yeah, I would say it has to be like a right combination of like easygoing, but also like reliable. And also kind of like this, well, it depends kind of like if you're on tour and if you're in the studio.
Well, those are
I think it's
things.
Like slightly different things then, yeah. But kind of like in the studio, it's good if you are like an adventurer or kind of like explorer a little bit more. Yeah. And then when you're on tour, it's kind of like more important that you are just like reliable and easygoing. That's like,
And you can deliver every night like
in this
level that is needed.
Consistency is very important. And of course, we are humans, but still kind of like that. Because if you have the feeling that you can't trust someone, that's like the worst thing in the world. So
Beautiful. What's your favorite cuisine?
Italian. No, Asian. Italian is second.
Ah, good question. I love my morning porridge, but after that, you know, I'm. What would I choose? Back in the day, I would have said hamburgers, but now I'm so health conscious. I don't eat hamburgers that often, but I just had pizza today, so I could just say pizza, you know. And it can be from any part of the world. I think pizza is a safe choice.
Oh yeah.
I love Indian food a lot.
Yeah,
I really do.
Yeah.
I love all kinds of fish foods, from sushi to smoked fish or. And I try to add more vegetables and eat as healthy as possible. So anything green is okay. We just bought this machine that we can make smoothies here and you know.
Amazing. At the studio?
Yeah, the studio, because we try to, we are not that young anymore, so we need to kind of like.
Yeah, eat well.
Try to eat well and like live a healthy life.
Yeah.
Next time I'm in Finland, I know where to get a smoothie.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Just visit our studio.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Super. What are the top two highlights from your India tour from the past?
The first that comes to mind is 2018 or I think it was 18 when we played in, what was the place called? Which was kind of like a long drive away from.
Yeah.
Mumbai? Did you play in Mumbai?
No, I think it was a place that we have never visited before.
The last time we visited India.
It had this like really, really, really big festival. There's a photo of that on our website on the tour dates page.
Yeah, it's still there. The photo is there.
Yeah. So I think that was kind of like.
Was it Meghalaya, Shillong?
Yeah,
that one.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
For me, I would definitely say our 2011 one show in, I think it was in Bangalore. Kingfisher Festival, something like that.
Yeah.
I have a, you know, I just discovered this recording because back in the day I recorded every show that we played.
Amazing.
And I found this piece from that show, and for some reason I probably forgot to press the stop button, so I happened to record the long passage from the stage to the backstage, and you could hear the audience going crazy and roaring our name, and we were laughing, and you could hear our steps. I think that was such a nice memory. And when I found out that, I was like almost in tears because it was so emotional to experience that. Yeah. Because those are the moments that you don't usually remember. You remember some particular song.
That's true.
Or the mistake
you made or something.
Yeah. So I think that's absolutely one of my favorite memories from India. There are many good memories, of course.
Yeah.
The shows have been incredible and the audience is one of a kind for sure.
When are you coming to India next?
Good question.
Yeah, we don't know yet, but I mean, hopefully as soon as possible.
Absolutely. I mean, it's amazing to perform there.
Yeah, the only problem is that we just live so far away from India, so it's always like a
logistical problem.
We need to put together like so many different things and solve so many small problems to make it happen. That's why don't we like play there like every night? But
yeah,
hopefully, we are really hoping that at some point.
But next time you are in India, I'd be happy to host you and show you around some real good places that you might have not even thought of.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. That's a promise. Nice.
If you had to describe your experience being on the show, Stalwarts of Music, how would you describe it?
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. I mean, always good to talk with someone who knows what they're talking about. So, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. We've done a lot of interviews over the years. I love to be interviewed with someone who really... Exactly, knows our career, knows the things that we are interested in and what we've done, and you know, just as you can see from our long answers, you know.
Yeah, you really got the kind of like gave us the kind of like a good question, so that we got, and it's because we have been in so many interviews where we're kind of like starts like, okay, could you tell how your band started, like. And it's like, well, we have only told this like a million times before.
which is, of course, okay.
Which is okay. Nothing wrong with that. But I mean, everything that you asked, it's like, okay, well,
that's
interesting.
That's really,
let us think about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and at this point, it's everything that kind of like where we have to think about a little and then kind of like, but by the way, this thing, it's also like really cool and interesting for us.
Absolutely.
So thank you.
Well, the whole ideology behind the show is to not only give people, you know, of course, you already have a great fan base in a country like India, but it's also, you know, to give people a perspective in terms of your process, your philosophies, your beliefs as musicians, because they love you for the musicians or the music that you all are putting out, but they don't know you enough. So this is to sort of give them a wholesome idea about where you're coming from. And what you're trying to, you know, put out, not just, you know, in terms of the music, but beyond that, right? So that's what Stalwarts of Music is all about from the very title. So that being said, one last question for today, gentlemen. Down in the distant horizon, what would you like to be remembered as?
If someone remembers us as someone who just made some good albums and maybe music that is still played like years from now, I think that's like, then we have really like achieved something.
If people can still relate to our music, even though we are not existing anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's significant. And I would hope that, you know, our music would still touch people.
Yeah, because time will tell how timeless our music will be. But of course, we are hoping that it will kind of like stand the test of time and people will listen to it in the future. So it's like, whatever they will say, it doesn't matter as long as they're listening to our music.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a great answer for a closure. This interview will be additionally aired on two incredible radio stations in the northeastern part of India. 98.3 Big FM Shillong and 92.7 Big FM Aizawl as part of Big FM India. And it'll also be out on my YouTube channel, Aditya Veera 1994. And it'll also be streaming at a much later point on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, name it. So I'll be sure to share the links once this interview is out. Thank you so much. It's been such an incredible blessing, honor, and a privilege, gentlemen. Thank you so much once again for taking time out. Tuning in. Thank you and do stay in touch. I'm hoping to see you in my country very soon.
Yeah, yes, we hope it too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Have a nice day.
Bye-bye. Bye.